Basic idea is you set out a goal and you give a prize, set out a prize, and either you give the prize to the first person who reaches the goal, or if you're just sort of saying like, come up with the most innovative video PSA or something like that, you evaluate the different responses and you give a prize to the best one. So that's the basic idea, and it has, a lot of virtues. Number one is, and the biggest, you pay only for results. I mean, if somebody doesn't reach the goal, if there's nothing good enough, you don't pay anything.
Yeah,
So you pay
right.
only for results. No, number two, compared to a normal procurement, of course, in a lot of normal procurements, we don't pay for results, unfortunately. Number two, compared to a normal procurement, you don't have to choose the team you're going to go with. You really let the world decide. As many people who want to participate get to make their entrance. And number three, and not this actually is I haven't written about this actually. I'm saying this for the first time on your show, so you heard it first here. Another advantage of contests people don't think about in the procurement system is you save on procurement administrative costs. There is no source selection process. There is no contract administration, auditors. There's only the only thing you need to set the requirement, and you need to have somebody who can test to see have you met the requirement. But all the stuff in between, source selection, bid protests, a lot of the stuff in sections LM, all that kind of stuff, contract administration, auditors, checkers, people who are looking at did people fill in their time sheets. You don't need any of that.
Yeah, a lot of the important stuff, but the bureaucracy that goes into the system.
Yeah, that's right,
Yeah.
exactly. And it's an actually It's that is an advantage, at least as a procurement technique of contests that had up to now has really gotten no attention. But with a stretched procurement workforce, it's one of the many arguments for using it where it's appropriate.
Plus, the thing about the contest to me is it seems to me that it's in this age where people distrust government at the level that they do, and they do. It is more open. It's more in a way competitive than you can even create in a procurement process.
I mean, anybody can enter.
Yeah.
No favorites, no inside influence, no lobbyists, all that kind of stuff. I mean, now, as we both know, Chris, and I think many of your listeners know, a lot of the suspicions that folks out there, quote unquote, beyond the beltway have
Right.
about the way the procurement process works are unfounded.
Right.
However,
Absolutely.
you're absolutely right, the suspicions are out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And so are there limits to what you can do with this? I mean, as I say, I think it, and I'm going to find the date, but I think it was like 7 years ago you
Yeah,
were
it was a long time ago.
writing about this in terms of a highway construction out in California following the earthquake to make sure they finished up on time. Are there, sometimes we use a hammer, doesn't matter what we're trying to do, but we use a hammer to do it. Is this, it, can, does this work in certain places and not work in other places?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, it's key, everything has a cost. And the cost here, obviously, if you're going to say we're going to pay one contractor as a using a traditional procurement process, $10 million to try to develop a certain software application. If you're going to have a contest where you don't get any, where you anybody can enter and you don't get anything, and in some sense it's a little bit like what's a little almost like share and savings in some
Yeah.
way, you only pay for results. If you're going to have a contest and say, here are the requirements we have for this computer application, and the first person who develops the application wins, you're going to need to pay them more than you're going to need to pay the winner more than $10 million. There's a companies certainly are not going to. Since it's more of a chance, they're not going to invest as much. They're not going to invest the money you need unless the prize is larger. So nothing comes without a cost. So one thing to keep in mind is that often, particularly if you're talking about an application where conventional, old-fashioned companies are going to be submitting the sort of the prize applications, the amount you need to pay them to get them to do this form of buying, contest form, is going to be larger. So that's on the other hand, nobody gets the money unless unless they succeed. So I think that probably contests are the most appropriate I guess the guidelines I would give, number one, where it is not at all a sure thing that you can get the results at all. When you're talking about some sort of pretty speculative, beyond the state of the art, application, whether it be IT or other, doesn't be IT, but any kind of application, number one. Number two, you got to be able to specify what you want so you can tell people whether they've won the contest or not.
But you should be doing that with contract. You should be doing that anyway.
Right, that is true. Chris, you've become quite a contracting expert. you're practicing contracting without a license here, but yeah. Of course, you're absolutely right about that.
Don't play one. I play one on TV, or I play one on the radio.
Right. Number three, I think the contests are also more appropriate the more you're bringing in non-traditional players. So like when EPA just basically invites, I want to say, the Kids of America to develop a public service announcement on various kinds of environmental stuff, and they're giving a prize of $2,500. It's essentially no money. That wouldn't work. You couldn't get a conventional company to develop a public service ad of any quality for $2,500. So there the contest works because you're getting basically just the enthusiasm of a lot of essentially volunteers. I'm working for $2,500 essentially being volunteers. So where you have something that has a high cool factor and you can involve a lot of folks, not traditional, companies playing in the government marketplace, who just think it's a cool idea to try to do this. That's another place contests can work.
I always remember Dee Lee back, I think it was when she was OFPP administrator for a period of time. She was speaking to a group and she said, in the end, government contracting or any place else isn't that difficult. You tell them what you're going to do, you do it, and then you follow up and make sure they did it. And
that's right. And I heard Dee say that also.
and it's, it sounds so simple. And yet, even with the contest, those basic rules still apply.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, in terms of the stuff that's beyond the state of the art, where, contest is yet another thing that's so old that it's new. I mean, the one of the earliest known use of contests was, I think, in England in the 18th century, 17th century, where the Royal Astronomical or Aeronautical, one of whatever society, wanted to develop a technique for measuring longitude. And there's a whole book about this called Longitude, that was very hard to do, but it was very essential for shipping and for navigation and stuff. And they did it as a contest, and it worked after a long time when they couldn't get anybody to solve this problem.